Green Bay Packers wide receiver Davante Adams is reportedly unlikely to play in Saturday's divisional round playoff matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. So what will be the impact and how will the Packers replace him? We'll answer those questions with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a playoff game against the Arizona Cardinals in the divisional round of the playoffs. To do that and to look at some recent news revolving around the Packers, we have us joining us on the phone this morning.
Review.
We have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing today?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. Glad to have you on the show. As always, Nathan, we heard the news yesterday. Davante Adams, unlikely to play in this weekend's game. Kind of interesting, just that I thought Davante Adams actually had perhaps the best game of his season coming off this game last week in Washington in the wild card round. So I guess before we get into the impact, was this his best game of the year?
I would agree with you that this was his best game, even though a lot of it was just his two catches that came within the last minute of the first half, which was a first down and then a touchdown. So there were a few games where he had a little bit more production, but when you take into account how many snaps he played, his production per snap, this game was his best one. And then also recently, he was averaging about a drop a game, and then he's caught all eight passes thrown his way over the past two games. So while I'm not sure it's enough for me to be optimistic about his future, he's definitely playing better recently than he had been earlier this season.
Yeah, I hope that trend continues, but unfortunately it looks like he will not play on Saturday. So I imagine, Nathan, that Jared Abradaris is going to take on a bigger role. Do you think Jared Abradaris is ready for it based on his recent play?
First off, I agree with you. I think he will have a bigger role. That's what happened when Adams went down in this past game. So I'm not overly optimistic that he'll play all that well. He has just a 61.1% catch rate, which I expect better out of slot receivers in general. He's just averaging 2 yards after the catch per catch, which is also something I expect to see more of out of a slot receiver. He has 2 drops compared to 3 catches over his last 2 games of playing time. So even though I'm not overly optimistic, we really haven't seen too much more out of Adams when he's played in that spot. So I don't expect Abradaris to be too much worse, if anything, than what Adams was playing.
Never know when a player's going to have his big breakout game. We can only hope that's going to happen this upcoming weekend. Nathan, another player who I thought maybe had the best game of his year, of his season, was linebacker Nick Perry, especially since he was facing off against Washington left tackle Trent Williams. Would you agree with that?
I'm not sure I'd call it his best game of the season, but he definitely had a good game in this one. We credit him with 3 sacks and 1 hurry, with one of the sacks coming very late in the play and one of the pressures being unblocked. But the other 2 sacks were very impressive, one of them coming up against Trent Williams. He wasn't especially great in the run game, though. He was typically getting blocked a bit, and the run game is something that he plays pretty good in general, so... even though we've rarely talked about him this year, I think he's been having a decent season considering his playing time. And he's never quite lived up to that first-round pick expectations, but he's been a solid role player throughout the year, which is better than being a complete bust.
Yeah, actually, early in the season, before he suffered that shoulder injury, he was really off to a hot start kind of before the bye week. So he was doing well, kind of cooled down a little. Maybe he's getting back to his normal self. We can only hope once again. A lot of hope here. But speaking of linebackers, Nathan, I thought the Packers pass rush in general had one of their best games in a long, long time with not only Perry, but Mike Neal, Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers all chipping in. When was the last time the Packers had this much production from a pass rush standpoint in a single game?
I think in terms of sacks, it was since the Chiefs game earlier in the year that that's what they matched. They weren't as consistent at getting pressure as some teams do when they have a great pass rush game. Kirk Cousins was under pressure on 37% of his pass plays, which is pretty good, but not amazing for a pass rush. In terms of grades, the game against the Rams was more impressive. The Packers had Nick Foles under pressure over 50% of the time. And even though there weren't as many sacks in that game, when Foles was under pressure and wasn't sacked, he only had an NFL quarterback rating of 1.6 under pressure. The Seahawks and Chiefs games were about equally good in terms of our grades, but our grades don't adjust for opponent, and Washington has in the season had a better offensive line and pass pass blocking than the rest of the teams that I've mentioned. So if you want to take into account adjusting for how good the opponent is, this is definitely the argument for the best pass rushing game the Packers have had this year.
Yeah, and the common thread between some of those other games you mentioned, all back before the bye week, months ago for the Packers. It seems like it's been such a long time since they've been able to do this. We're talking to Nathan Jahnke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, three rookie cornerbacks played pretty big roles for the Packers in Washington, and unexpectedly in the case of Ladarius Gunter, I think he played the biggest role of his career, at least outside the preseason. How did he and the rest of the rookie cornerbacks hold up?
Yeah, Ladarius Gunter definitely had his biggest role in terms of playing on defense, and he did a pretty good job in his time. He was thrown at twice. One of the times he allowed a catch, but the other time he had a pass defense. So having a one-to-one pass defense to catch ratio is really good, even though this is a small sample size, but definitely a promising start for him in his first time with some real playing time. Rollins, he was the best of the group, in my opinion. He was thrown at twice. Once he allowed just a 4-yard catch on second and 14. So even though it's a catch, it's still a win for the offense with the offense getting so few yards. And then the other time it was an incompletion, and it was because of his good coverage that it was incomplete. So Rollins had another good game. And then Randall, on the other hand, continued his slump. He allowed 6 of 8 passes thrown his way to be caught for 90 yards. He did have a pass defense to help make up for it. And a lot of the times his coverage wasn't too terrible when he allowed a catch, but consistently allowing the catch isn't a good thing.
Going back to offense for a moment, Nathan, how did J.C. Treader grade out at the first start of his professional career at left tackle, and how did the job he does compare to David Bakhtiari?
I think Treader did a fine job. He allowed the one sack, which led to the safety, which doesn't look good, but that was the only pressure he allowed in all of his pass blocks. So I'll take all that into consideration, and I think he had a good job pass blocking. He wasn't as effective as a run blocker. A lot of times, he was trying to block one of those 3-4 defensive ends on the inside, and that didn't end up going well. Also, a couple of times where he was going to the second level, trying to block a linebacker, and was unsuccessful a few times there. So, in general, not quite as good as Bakhtiari. At least recently, David is coming off of 11 straight games where he's graded out as an above average pass blocker, with one or fewer pressures in 5 of his last 6 games. So pretty comparable in terms of pass protection. And then Treader was just a little worse in run blocking than David's been this year. So, a little bit of a downgrade step, but I think Treader in general is better suited to play interior lineman in general. So, definitely better than what we would have seen out of Don Barclay at left tackle, at least.
Yeah, it's they got an encouraging performance out of J.C. Treader, better than Barclay, better than probably Sitton either, and you get Sitton back at guard, which I think is a positive. But Nathan, as we start to look forward to the game here this weekend, I know it wasn't all that long ago that we talked about the Packers and the Cardinals, but since they played, the Cardinals lost pretty handily in their last game to the Seahawks. Is there any weaknesses on the Cardinals' offense that were exposed in that game that the Packers should take note of?
Sure. The Cardinals' offensive line all year long has been pretty poor in pass protection. And with the Seahawks front seven, they also made the Cardinals look pretty bad in run blocking as well. So I don't think the Packers have quite as good of a front seven as the Seahawks do. So I don't think the run defense part of it will, I don't think they'll hold the Cardinals to 2.1 yards rushing like Seattle did. But I think the pass protection can be exploited since the Seahawks were able to get pressure so quickly that Carson Palmer wasn't as good under pressure as he had been most of the season. And in the Packers-Seahawks game, the pass rush wasn't doing as good as it normally did. So if the pass rush can do just as good as it did against Washington or even better, getting pressure quickly, that'll definitely help slow down the Cardinals' offense. And I think that's the one thing that they can try to exploit the most.
Sounds good to me. Same question for the Cardinals' defense. Was there anything that the Packers can take advantage of?
Sure. One thing that they tried to do in this last game, or their last game, is take advantage of Justin Bethel, their outside cornerback, who's just started seeing significant playing time recently due to the Tyrann Mathieu injury a few weeks ago. Once Mathieu went down, Powers moved to the slot, Bethel went to the outside. The Packers targeted him 14 times in their game, but Bethel only allowed 7 catches, where the Seahawks, when targeting him, they had 6 of 8 passes caught for 88 yards and a touchdown. So I can see the Packers definitely trying to continue to take advantage of Bethel, who is coming off of 3 straight negatively graded games. Outside of that, maybe not something the Packers can take advantage of, but something that should be better off for the Packers in this game. 2 of the 4 highest graded pass rushers for the Cardinals in that Cardinals-Packers game were Alex Okafor and Corey Redding, 2 players who just recently were placed on the non-football injury and injured reserve list. So the Cardinals shouldn't have as much success pass rushing. Also with Don Barclay and Josh Walker unlikely to see any playing time. So Rodgers shouldn't be under pressure nearly as much as he was in that last game. So that should definitely help the Packers offense.
Sounds good to me. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us here on a Wednesday morning. Appreciate your insight as always. We'll break this game down next week and hear from you then.
No problem. Thanks for having me and have a good one.
All right. Take care. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us as he does every Wednesday on the show. Glad to have him. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as well as we continue on with our Packers analysis.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers over the past 24 hours, it was reported that Davante Adams is unlikely to play in this weekend's divisional round playoff game between the Green Bay Packers and the Arizona Cardinals. That was reported, I know, originally by Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com and other outlets since that time. It sounds like the word from the Packers is they are not ready to make any move on Davante Adams yet. Now, reportedly, he sprained the MCL in, I believe it's his right knee, don't quote me on that, a knee, regardless. And Davante Adams, guys can come back from sprained MCLs. You've already seen 2 Packers players come back this season from that same exact injury. We're talking about offensive lineman Brian Bulaga. You remember early in the season, he dealt with that. And we're also talking about tight end Andrew Corliss, who was the Packers, designee for injured reserve, designated to return, and then came back just a few weeks ago. Now, you can look at, Andrew Corliss and be like, well, maybe that injury affected him a little bit more than because he really hasn't been all that effective since, returning. He hasn't hardly done anything for the Green Bay Packers. Really, he's played a pretty minor role, gets a little spot here and there. I don't think he's caught a pass since coming back from injured reserve, if I remember correctly. And if he has, it hasn't been all that much. He definitely hasn't caught a touchdown pass or anything like that. But, you know, what you can look at here, too, is what's going to be really tough for Davante Adams is that, you know, he's a guy and he plays at a position more reliant on speed when we're talking about wide receivers than it is for players at other position like the offensive line. Now, certainly if you're Brian Bulaga, you need some lateral agility, no doubt about it. But I just think it's going to be a little bit tougher for a guy like Davante Adams who's got to run routes and make breaks and gain separation. That's going to be a little bit tougher with the sprained MCL. So typically these kind of guys are out a few weeks and then return. I would tend to agree that if this is indeed, you know, the case and neither Adams nor anybody in the Packers organization has confirmed this as being the case. It's just a report at this point. It's understandable that he would miss some amount of time. According to head coach Mike McCarthy in his Tuesday press conference, he's kind of waiting to see until what Wednesday's practice holds before making any decision. He kind of says, we'll learn more then. You can understand the Packers not wanting to make a rash decision in terms of placing Davante Adams on injured reserve. They don't want to have to go down that route if they don't have to. Even if he does miss this game, maybe they're kind of holding out hope that if the Packers can win in advance, he would be able to be available for the NFC Championship game or perhaps the Super Bowl. They're waiting to see. So no roster move appears imminent at this point. It was also reported by Rob Domofsky. I wouldn't say a report. He went on Twitter and said, don't be surprised if the Packers sign Ed Williams off their practice squad. You might remember Ed Williams back during training camp. He played with the Packers in the preseason, did a nice job for an undrafted rookie, kind of an encouraging type of role. In fact, if I remember right, Ed Williams wasn't even signed until, I don't know, he wasn't like one of those guys who was with the team, you know, right after the NFL draft. It took several weeks, months for the Packers to sign him even. But he gets in town and has a nice preseason, has a nice campaign, and, you know, was invited to stick around in their practice squad. He's been there all year, and you kind of think, well, this guy's got a nice future. I don't know if the Packers would go to him or not, because, I mean, they first of all, to promote Ed Williams to the 53-man roster, they'd have to clear room, and they could do that by, you know, putting Davante Adams on injured reserve. But again, that ends his season. Once Davante Adams goes on injured reserve, there is no hope that he's going to come back. Just like Jordy Nelson, he's done for the year, not eligible to return until the 2016 season next year. So if there's any hope, that Adams might return, they just, you know, may play it as, okay, let's try to get through this game, and then maybe we get him back. And, you know, I'm just trying to go through thoughts that the Packers may be considering or weighing. I have no way of getting in their head. I don't know any more than anything I've expressed already in terms of the Adams injury. So mere speculation at this point, but those are some of the things they may be considering at this point. I think the guy who's going to have the biggest role that we already talked about with Nathan Jahnke is Jared Abradaris, a guy who the Packers have been developing all season long. He's certainly not played a ton for the Packers, but, you know, he's you know, played a small role, I guess you could say. They signed him to the 53-man roster early in the season. I think it was week 5 when he made his NFL debut and was starting to do some things. In fact, kind of around midseason, there was the game against the Detroit Lions. He ends up having like 5 catches that game, and you think, Jared Abradaris is coming on. And then all of a sudden, late in that game, he takes a shot to his ribs or his chest. and miss ends up missing 2 weeks after that, and it just kind of, you know, reinforced this notion that, you know, is Jared Aberderis too frail? I maybe that's unfair, but I mean, he's certainly been injury prone. I think, you know, his first 2 years in the NFL, he missed his entire first season with a torn ACL. He missed the majority of training camp with a concussion. Then he suffered this injury to the ribs and missed 2 weeks. He's been coming back and he's been playing well, again, in a small role, but, you know, he scored the first points of his professional career this past weekend in Washington when he had the 2-point conversion, made a really nice move on his route to, you know, really kind of juke some guys out and found some space and settled into a zone and caught the pass. So that was really nice to see from Jared Aberderis, and hopefully you just continue to see more of that, because I think he's going to be the guy who sees the biggest, you know, uptick in snaps. I don't think we're going to see anything, you know, bigger from Jeff Janis per se. I think you'll see the same small, tiny kind of role. You know, Jeff Janis played, what, 4 snaps this past game. Yeah, he might play that again, and the Packers might pass to him a time or two. I wouldn't expect anything more at this point, just based upon the way the whole season has gone. I think, you know, the Packers will tend to rely on, as they've tried to lately, more tight ends, more running back play. Since the past several weeks of the season, they've been running a lot of I formation stuff, or, you know, with a fullback, whatever formation it is. Getting John Kuhn involved a lot. You know, we saw John Kuhn play some of the biggest snap counts of his entire career. You know, John Kuhn's been around for, what, 9-10 years almost, and he's playing more than ever right now. And getting both Eddie Lacy and James Starks involved, they've been going with a lot of 2 tight end sets to, you know, in part help those left tackles or the inexperienced guys on the edge. So wouldn't be surprising to see both, you know, Richard Rodgers and Andrew Corliss in the game lining up next to J.C. Tretter out there to give him a little bit of help. So I don't think they're going to try to run a lot of wide receiver heavy sets, you know, and they, you know, they can split those guys out. Richard Rodgers, you know, plays as much, you know, in line as he does out on the edge sometimes. So they can just go that route as well, albeit Richard Rodgers is not a speed demon, but Packers will do what it takes to just, like I said, get by this game, perhaps, just try to get through it with their current role, maybe without having to make a roster move at this point, because I don't know. I mean, if the Packers were to promote Ed Williams, do you really trust this undrafted rookie to all of a sudden play a significant role? I'm not sure. I think the Packers would rather try to do things to get the ball to Richard Rodgers more ways, like they did, you know, perhaps against the Detroit Lions game when, you know, Richard Rodgers had the best game of his career, probably, and not just the bomb at the end, the Hail Mary. He had a lot of catches that game for a lot of yards downfield. Maybe they go back that route and try to get him, you know, instead of to the flat, try to get him upfield a little bit. Sure would be nice to see as the Packers get ready to face the Cardinals this weekend. One other kind of note, I think this flies under a lot of people's radars, and there's, you know, some people that don't care about it. But again, it's so weird. I look at our statistics at 24/7 Sports and our page views, and there's more interest in this little type of thing than there is almost anything else. The Packers had a linebacker in for a workout yesterday. Again, the report courtesy of Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. But the Packers have Jason Ankra in for a workout, and I kind of provided some commentary on this at 24/7 Sports, which people seem to crave. They kind of love, you know, knowing about the future of the Packers and things like that almost more than the current team. It's amazing how much a workout attention this gets when I look at our page views and things like that. But I think you look at this through the perspective of the Packers looking to the future in terms of, here's Jason Ankra, an outside linebacker, and the Packers have such an uncertain future at that position. Because, you know, Mike Neal, Nick Perry, both going to be free agents at season's end. You got Clay Matthews, who plays as much at inside linebacker or more at inside linebacker than on the outside. You've got Julius Peppers, who turns 36 in just a few days. I think Julius Peppers' birthday is January 18th, so very shortly he's going to be 36, and you can't rule out retirement at the end of the season, or perhaps even the Packers parting ways with him if they think that salary becomes a little burdensome. I don't know. I haven't really sat down and thought too critically about the future of Julius Peppers yet, but you can't rule those things out. So, you know, all of a sudden, the depth could be pretty darn thin at outside linebacker after this season. So, just looking at some guys, they didn't sign them, but maybe they'll consider signing them after the season, you know, when off-season rosters, you know, are expanded to 90 players. Jason Anker, a guy who broke into the NFL with the Houston Texans last year, was on their roster but only played in like two games. This year he was on the practice squad of the Tennessee Titans for a while, but he was released and now a street free agent. So the Packers, you know, kicking the tires on a guy. So there you go. Jason Anker in a workout in Green Bay on Tuesday. No signing imminent, but we'll see if the Packers do consider it in due time. Time for the next segment on the show.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, today, Wednesday, if you want to see more about James Jones, you are in for a treat on Wednesday. Because first of all, he is going to be featured. The Green Bay Packers wide receiver is going to be featured on an episode of NFL Films Presents. The premiere of this episode on Wednesday evening on Fox Sports 1. It's going to document James Jones' journey from Green Bay to Oakland, back to Green Bay. You know, it's been a very feel-good story this season in terms of how he bounced around the league and nobody really wanted him. And the Packers were happy to have him back, and he's played a pretty big role this season. But not just that. You know, James Jones was homeless when he was a child, you know, back in his younger days, and just, you know, how he kind of beat the odds to become, you know, an NFL player, win a Super Bowl with the Packers, and overcome a lot of odds. So kind of a feel-good story there. You can watch that Wednesday evening, Fox Sports 1, I believe, 5 o'clock p.m. Central Time, NFL Films, and you know how good of a job NFL Films does. So that's on this evening. Is it in addition to James Jones being this week's co-host on Green Bay Nation? That's more of a local produced content. You're going to have to live in the Green Bay market, I think, to see that one on WFRV Channel 5 in Green Bay. But there will be plenty of opportunities to see James Jones in the media on Wednesday evening if you're so inclined. As for the Packers team itself, Wednesday's the first day of practice this week as they get ready for the Arizona Cardinals. That, of course, also means the Packers will be releasing their first injury report of the week on Wednesday afternoon. We'll be interested to see the status of several injured players, including Davante Adams, perhaps. I wouldn't hold out much hope, but again, you never know. Like I said, the Packers weren't willing to make a roster move, so perhaps holding out hope that he could practice. In addition to him, you know, some of the guys who didn't play this last game, but you think got to think are close to returning. Cornerback Sam Shields and his concussion. Offensive lineman David Bakhtiari and his ankle injury. Even cornerback Quentin Rollins, who suffered a quad injury in the game at Washington and did not return. He want to see where he's at. Is he going to be ready to go? Because he played so, as we talked about with Nathan Yonke, Quentin Rollins played really nice. He had that hit that jarred that ball loose on Jamison Crowder. That was a fantastic, fantastic play from Quentin Rollins. Would love to see him be available and return to practice and know that he's not going to miss much time. So we're waiting to see the status of all these guys on the injury report, including a few others like Jayrone Elliott, who's missed like the past three games now. He would be a huge asset to the Packers special teams. Justin Perillo's missed the past several weeks with a hamstring injury. Looking to see the status on all these guys on Wednesday night. So that's what we're looking forward to in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday. And that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us today. We'll be back again on Friday previewing the upcoming Packers-Cardinals game for sure. My call to action, as always, if you've not done so already, we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's one small way to help us get word out about the show that is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. It's the one small thing we ask in return. If you could just give us brief rating review, we'd really, really appreciate it. So thanks a lot. And I know some of you have out there lately. In fact, there was a little flurry of activity just in the past week. I saw a lot of people adding new reviews. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you. But have a good Wednesday, folks. We'll be back again in 2 days. And we'll talk more Packers then. I leave you today with a song called The Way That It Goes by Kyle Hollingsworth on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.
Begging for change with a Mountain Dew, a puppy on a string and a cigarette. The dreads are hanging past the waistline. In no hurry, just taking his time. Two girls kissing on a corner stop. As he walks by the pawn shop, the cool hip stores and the funky shoes. Fish his vibe in the country.